Welcome to the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with your host, accountant and author Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA. Join Carol as she shares her knowledge on a topic of interest to everyone, money. On the show, Carol will discuss starting and running a microbusiness, teaching your kids about money, and managing money in a homeschool organization. Carol takes confusing topics such as money and business and puts them into clear English. She's ready to share her knowledge with you on today's show.
Hi, this is Carol Topp. Welcome to this episode of the Dollars and Cents Show. The next four episodes here on this podcast are going to be about how to teach your kids about managing money when you're not doing so great yourself. And this episode number 7 is going to be devoted to teaching preschoolers. The next episode we'll talk about how to teach elementary school kids about managing money. And then the two podcasts after that will focus on pre-teenagers and teenagers and what you need to teach them about managing money, the important skill of managing money. As a retired homeschool mom and as a CPA, or I've had an interest in personal finance for a long time. I mean, not only raising my own daughters, they're in their 20s now, and not only as an accountant, but I have taught personal finance to several homeschool groups. I've also done workshops on budgeting and presentations on all kinds of things having to do with taxes and money management and personal finance. So I've just had a huge interest in helping educate people about how to manage their money better for a long time. So these podcasts are going to be from my personal experience, as well as from books I've read and people I've learned from myself. I've got some resources to share with you for each of these stages of your child's life: preschool, elementary, preteen, and teenager, and how you can help them learn more about money. And these resources are listed over in the show notes for the website for this podcast at the dollarsandcentsshow.com. Look for episodes number 7, 8, 9, and 10 on how to teach your kids about managing money. And you can also find them over at my other website, which is homeschoolcpa.com. Just go to the page labeled blog or podcast, and there you'll find the episodes on how to teach your kids about managing money. And you can find some helpful resources for yourself there. Okay, I'm going to start out by just talking about generally what should be our motivation when we are teaching our kids about managing money. Then I'm going to talk to you specifically about how you teach your preschoolers in this episode, and then specifically what to teach them. And then I'll do that. I'll repeat that format in terms of how to teach your kids and what some important concepts to teach them at each age level on each of these podcasts as we progress along as the kids grow in their age. All right, so let me jump in talking about the whole motivation behind why we need to teach our kids the importance of managing their money and managing it well, especially if you don't think you've been the greatest role model yourself. Well, and that's my first reason, because someone is watching. You want to be a good example because your kids learn more by watching you and how you manage your money and the attitudes you have about your money than they will ever learn from a book or from a podcast or a presenter. They learn by watching you. So you want to be a good example. And that's huge motivation. And, you know, you may not feel like you've been the best example. So let's use somebody else as an example, right? You can use your own personal testimony, and hopefully you've improved in your own money management and your attitudes about money. And you can use that as a testimony of how you're turning your life around and turning your financial life around, and share that with your kids. Now, it may not be appropriate to share that with a preschooler. They're not probably that interested, but definitely the preteens and teenagers can learn a lot from you about the mistakes that you've made in terms of managing your money. So, you know, you might say something like, you know, when your mom and I were first married, or if you're a dad, when your mom and I were first married, you know, we got into trouble with credit card debt, or, and we've taken a long time to work it off, and here's how we did it. I don't want that for you. Share things like that, and it makes a huge impact on the kids because, of course, like I said, someone is watching. I think it's also a really good idea to use other people's testimonies of how they've been successful in managing their money, and the Dave Ramsey radio show is great for this. So if you have the Dave Ramsey radio show in your local area, turn it on when you're driving the kids around or when they're with you and say, yeah, this is a good show. I can learn a lot from it, and I think you could too. Again, especially at the preteen and teenager age. But sometimes the elementary kids like hearing the stories, or people come on the radio show for Dave Ramsey's radio program, and they'll talk about how they get out of debt, and then they do this great cheer, we're debt-free. And those are great, great testimonies. And ultimately, you want to tell your kids, you know, I hope you never have to be in the circumstances that some of these people got into. So let's learn from them and, you know, try to avoid excessive debt, which is another one of my reasons for trying to motivate you to teach your kids about managing money. Boy, debt is all around us in our society. We have so many bad examples of money management and excessive debt, including our federal government, that we have got to work very proactively against it, because otherwise it's just too easy to be sucked into debt. It's all around us. It's considered normal, and it's not healthy. Did you know that college debt now exceeds credit card debt? And I'm sure you don't want that for your kids. I don't want that for my kids. So we want to encourage them very early on to have the right attitudes about money and the right attitudes about debt, which is avoided as much as possible, because it is just a drain, and it's a type of slavery. The average balance on credit card debt is shockingly over $8,000. That's the average balance on a credit card debt. 43% of Americans carry a balance on their credit cards, and that number, $8,000, that's per card, not per person or per household. So it's crushing this amount of debt we have. So it's very important for us to try to change the next generation with some good money management habits of learning how to live within their means and budget things and have the right attitude about money, which is you don't get it all. You know, none of us get everything we want. So think about the fact that you want to be a good example, because the kids are watching when you manage your money. We have so many bad examples around us that we need to work hard at finding good testimonies so that our kids learn to avoid the excessive debt that they see all around them. But ultimately, the real reason and the real motivation you want to teach your kids about managing money is because we're not raising kids. We're trying to raise adults, right? We're trying to raise them to be the independent, self-sufficient adults we want them to be and not be dependent upon us for their future financial needs. I want to tell you a story about a wonderful father, a very loving father, who called me several years ago because his son, his adult son, who was 30 years old at the time, was getting married. He was engaged to be married. And the 30-year-old son had excessive debt. Somehow the bride found out about it, the bride-to-be, fiance, and she postponed the wedding. She said, I do not want to get married when there's this excessive debt in the groom's life. It was her decision. I do not know her. All I know is that the father of the adult groom called me and said, do you think it would be a good idea for me to pay off my son's debt so he could get married? Well, what do you think about that, ladies and gentlemen? I'd really be curious to hear your comments. Leave them in the comment section of the blog, the show notes for this over at dollarsandcentsshow.com. My answer was to this, you know, wonderful, loving father, that your 30-year-old son is a grown-up and you're treating him like a child in saying that you're going to pay off his debt so he can get married. This bride had a problem with this debt. And debt is, as excessive as this was more of a symptom of other character problems in this 30-year-old man that obviously the bride saw and maybe was giving her pause. And that's why she postponed and ultimately never did marry the man. But you know, I did not think it was appropriate for this father to try to bail out his son. And that's, I don't want that for you either. I don't want you to have what are called boomerang kids, which are these kids that, like a boomerang, you send off and whoop, they come right back. Now, there are times when you want to take care of your adult children. Certainly, you provide them support, and you may even need for a period of time to open your home to them. But I don't think you take that extra step and bail them out of something that they've gotten themselves into, like this 30-year-old groom-to-be and his excessive debt. So I hope that gives you some motivation about the fact that, you know, you want to be a good example, avoid that excessive debt, and ultimately you want to focus on the fact that you're trying to raise these kids to grow up and leave us and be independent. I want to emphasize that what you teach your kids at different stages of their life will vary. We're going to focus on preschoolers today, and it's going to be very different, obviously, if you have older kids. So just be aware of that. The advice I give you as a preschooler may or may not apply to the older kids, and vice versa. Okay. But ultimately, I really like teaching, especially things like money management skills and what I call a very natural style. And I get this from the Old Testament scripture in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 7. You've probably heard this. The passage there goes like this. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. What's kind of neat about this verse is that they're talking about God's commandments should be taught to your kids in a very natural way. When you're sitting at home, when you're walking along the road, if I were going to paraphrase this and put it in modern times, I'd say talk about these principles, these commandments that God gives us, and there's a whole lot about managing money, but talk about them when you're driving in the car, when you're sitting around the table eating, when you're out shopping. That's what I call the natural style. And let me tell you, shopping and eating out are two great places for you to teach, especially your true preschooler, about money and managing money and the fact that money is limited. So I want to share with you one of my favorite stories about my daughter Emily when she was probably about 3 or 4 years old. I don't exactly remember, but she was definitely preschool and quite young. And we were shopping at a department store. And I decided I was going to make this a teachable moment because I had been looking at a lot of sweaters, and they were a lot of them very pretty sweaters, and I kind of wanted to buy several of them. And so I thought, I'm going to voice some things here, kind of think out loud to my daughter, who was, again, only 3 or 4. And I said, Emily, why don't I buy all these sweaters that I think are so pretty? Why don't I do that? And she said, well, because you don't have the money. And I said, well, no, actually, I do. If I took all the money out of my checking account and all the money out of my savings account, I could buy one of every sweater that I like here in the store. Why don't I do that, Emily? Well, she had to think about that a little bit longer. And then she came up with something that exactly what I wanted her to learn. And she said, because you wouldn't have enough money for Daddy and me. And that's right. That was the point I wanted her to learn, that money is limited and we don't get everything we want because I want to save that money for something else. So I followed up and I said with Emily, I said, it's exactly right. If I bought all the sweaters I wanted today, I wouldn't have enough money for you to go to college. See, I believe in indoctrinating kids or even brainwashing if you must at a very young age. And I started very young with telling my kids, we are not spending money on that today because we have it set aside for a future need. And in her case, it was college. And Emily's now in college. And you know, both of my daughters have been great. They've come to me and they said, thank you very much for saving money for college, because I see kids who have to work while they're in college, or I see the debt that they're carrying, and they're glad that they don't carry those burdens. It comes back to reward you, maybe a long time away, but do that with your preschoolers. When you're in stores, when you're eating out, take those opportunities to talk to them about why you don't buy everything, because the money is going to something else. Money is limited. That's one of the important things you teach a preschooler. Let me also emphasize that this is more typically at the elementary and higher up ages, but if you're having a difficult time trying to figure out how to teach your kids, you can always get somebody else to do it. Sunday school classes, scouts when they get into that, maybe homeschool co-op. Again, these are for the older kids, but there's some ideas I just wanted to put out there right now. We'll come back and touch on some more of those in the next future episodes of the podcast. And also things like focused teaching is also a really good thing to do with those upper levels too. And I've got some resources of how you conduct a family night. But of course, your preschooler could be involved in a family night. One of my friends took a family night where they just decided they were not going to do anything outside the family. They stayed home that night. And one night he cashed his paycheck. I think he actually took it in cash. Although I might recommend you use something like, you know, Monopoly money or fake money. But he cashed his paycheck and then he showed his kids. I believe they were a little older than preschoolers at the time, but you can do it with a preschooler. Showed his kids where all his money went very visually, and they could handle the bills and count out the 20s that needed to go to the mortgage and count out the money that needed to go pay the bills, like utility bills. And it was a great experience for them because they could see where all the money that dad had needed to go, all the places that they don't think about, like the heat bill and the water and the mortgage and the groceries. They only think about the things that they want to see, like, you know, toys and candy. So maybe consider something like that as a neat family night one night to show your kids visually where the money is going in your house. Again, might be really, really fun to do with a little older kids, elementary kids, but it's something to think about, even if you have preschoolers. Well, let me take a little break right now, the halfway point of the show, and when I come back, I'm going to talk specifically about some of the attitudes you need to teach your preschoolers, and I'm going to share some resources for you.
Homeschool leader, do you feel confused or overwhelmed by the job of running your homeschool group? You're not alone. Carol Topp, the homeschool CPA, is here to help. Carol is an accountant, author, and retired homeschool mom who understands you. Her website has helpful information on co-ops, paying workers, and managing the money in a homeschool group. If you need personalized advice, set up a consultation with Carol. She's happy to discuss your particular situation. Visit homeschoolcpa.com today and get the information you need to successfully run your homeschool group.
Well, this is Carol Topp back again with this episode number 7 of the Dollars and Cents Show. I've been talking about how to teach your kids about managing money when you're not doing so great yourself. And we're talking today particularly about preschoolers and the kind of attitudes that you need to teach preschoolers about money. So I've got about 4 of them, although there's probably a lot more, but 4 is enough to get a handle on right now. And one of the first attitudes you want to instill in your little preschoolers is this idea of mine. You know, almost probably the second word that they say is mine out of their little mouths, right? And they're very good at it. And they're very good at thinking everything is theirs. I remember hearing this funny little a comment about to a preschooler. The definition of mine is what's mine is mine, what I see is mine, if you have it, it's mine, if I want it, it's mine. So you need to work very hard at correcting that, because it will take years to get that out of them, to realize that not everything is theirs. And do it in a natural way, like I mentioned before, when you're eating out. One of my friends, Larry, did a great job of doing this, and you can repeat this yourself. He was at a McDonald's restaurant with his daughter when she was little, and bought her a Happy Meal, and they're sitting at the table, and he reaches across the counter, and he takes one of her French fries, and of course, she gets very upset, right? And what does she say? She says, "Daddy, no, that's mine." And it's what Larry did next that made it a teachable moment. He said, "Who bought those French fries for you?" Well, of course, Daddy did. And so what he's trying to do is to show her that even the things she thinks are hers really came from him, her loving father. And then he made it even more of a teachable lesson, and he talked to her a little bit about how everything we have is from God. Even if you worked to earn the money, God gives us the ability to work. It says that in the Old Testament too. So do that with your children. Remind them that everything they have is a gift from their earthly father who receives those gifts from their heavenly father. And that starts to change their perspective of everything being mine to everything being a gift and being given to them. Especially as preschoolers, they can hopefully understand that. Helps them stop being so greedy, which is a good goal. Another principle I want to share with you is called benign deprivation. This is not my concept. This is from John Rosemond, who is an author, a wonderful parenting author. He's a doctor. And I basically raised my kids on John Rosemond's philosophies and his books. But he wrote a wonderful book called The 6-Point Plan for Raising Happy, Healthy Children. It's been updated and revised. So now it's the new 6-Point Plan for Raising Happy, Healthy Children. And in that book, John Rosemond talks about benign deprivation. And he encourages parents to meet all their children's needs, but only about 25% of their wants. That's what he calls deprivation, but benign deprivation. See, we're not here to give our children everything they want for, because their wants are unlimited. But of course, our money is not. And that's the important principle he's trying to teach. So John Roseman says, give children your protection, your affection, and direction. But say no more often than you say yes. It sounds cruel, doesn't it? Well, it's deprivation. Yes, that's right. But it's benign, because it's done in a loving way that says, no, ultimately, I'm going to say no more often than yes, because to indulge you in everything you ask for is going to raise a spoiled child. And remember our goal? It's to raise independent adults, not spoiled children. So practice benign deprivation and get used to saying no. John Roseman calls it giving them vitamin N. I like that. I like that a lot when I first heard that. Vitamin N, no, 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 no. And if you want to give them the reason, although sometimes children don't want to hear the reason, they just need to hear no, and you need to stick with it. So do not give them everything they ask for. It's not good for them to have everything they ask for, and it's not loving for you to do that. And then, so that's John Roseman's philosophy. I really love it, and it's the way I raised my kids, and I'll tell you, it worked. One more principle to teach those preschoolers, besides the definition of mine and conquering that, and besides benign deprivation, is to help your kids realize that they can do more than you think and that we think. In other words, don't do for children what they can do on their own. And they can probably do a lot more than you're giving them credit for. I remember reading this book when my kids were young. It was called Children Who Do Too Little. I can't remember the author's name, but I'll try to put it in the show notes. And it was basically about encouraging your kids to do a lot of chores around the house. And I really took that to heart. And my kids started doing a lot of work around the house at a much younger age than many kids. Matter of fact, I was just sharing with somebody recently how their child was going off to college, and so mom was thinking maybe she needed to teach them how to do laundry because they were going off to college. Good idea. I taught my kids how to do laundry when they were pretty young. Like, I think they were 8 and 10, although my daughters might tell you they were even younger. I remember that my younger daughter, Sarah, had to stand on a chair because we had one of those top loader washing machines. She could throw her clothes in, but she couldn't get them out very easily. But they are perfectly capable of doing laundry at ages 8 and 10, maybe a little bit younger. Now, did I teach them? Yes. Teach them to sort clothes, teach them what to add, how to run the washing machine, how to put it in the dryer, how to take it out and fold it. They're capable of doing that. So don't do things for children that they can do on their own, and that's true with preschoolers. They can learn how to set the table. They can learn how to empty the dishwasher at quite a young age. Let them learn how to do those things. It gives them a sense of pride. It gives them a sense of proper pride, a sense of belonging to the family and contributing. And that's a very important thing, that they feel like they're part of the family and contributing themselves. So although you're not teaching the preschoolers much true about money, you know, like you're not teaching them what dollar bills are, or that comes later. You're teaching them these important principles that the world does not revolve around them, that money is limited and they don't get all of their wants, and that everyone needs to contribute to the family, so you don't do for children things that they can do for themselves. Well, I hope that was helpful. Some things I've learned, again, by raising a few preschoolers now to be near adults. They're in their 20s. Let me show you some resources. Again, you can find these over at the show notes for this, which is at dollarsandcentsshow.com. This is episode number 7, How to Teach Kids About Managing Money. Preschoolers in particular. And I really like crown.org. Crown is a financial ministry, and crown.org has some wonderful resources for teaching children and adults at all stages, but they've got one in particular called the Family Times Virtual Pack. I think this came out after I had preschoolers, but I really like it because what they have in there are some songs you can teach your kids, but they also have like these mealtime cards and bedtime stories. And the mealtime cards are just discussion starters you can have at mealtime. You can have those with preschoolers, elementary, all age kids. And Crown's emphasis is always on biblical financial principles. So it's a great way to kind of naturally introduce these ideas if you think, you know, I don't even know what to teach my kids or how. you know, go visit crown.org. They also have some bedtime stories you read to your kids. Those are great ways and great places to offer a little bit of teaching to your kids about finances, money, and ultimately God's provision for us. Also, any book by John Roseman, like I said, kind of raised my kids on his books, but the one that I think covers a lot of his great principles, like the one of benign deprivation and vitamin N for no, is the new 6-point plan for raising happy, healthy children. And that's, of course, available over at, you know, any online bookstore, Amazon or something like that. I'll put that in the show notes for you. So I hope you'll come back and pick up the next episodes here at the Dollars and Cents Show about how to teach your kids about managing money. Episode number 8 will be about elementary kids, like I said, and then we'll go on from there with episodes 9 and 10 about preteens and teenagers, which is actually one of the funnest ages to me because they're so close to being adults and there's so much they need to learn about proper money management in their lives. And it's the age I like to teach the best about money management. So I've got some great resources in the future podcasts. Thanks so much for listening. And please share this podcast with other people you think might be interested on your Facebook page or through your homeschool groups. I appreciate it a lot. And feel free to leave a comment if you have any questions or maybe disagree with the whole idea of benign deprivation or anything else that I've talked about here. I'd really like to hear your comments. Thanks so much, everybody.
Thank you for joining the Dollars and Cents Radio Show with Carol Topp here at the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. For more helpful information, visit Carol at her website, homeschoolcpa.com.